tonight, we're going to talk about salt and light. Salt and light. I think you might have picked up on that in, you know, small groups when you all read it and talked about it. So we're going to be upside down week 6, salt and light, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. So go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to say this tonight because I'm looking around the room, and most people that are here are people that are almost always here. Like y'all are the people that are here. Y'all are the ones that I can rely on. Like if I'm guessing who's going to be here, I start with this group for the most part. There's no reason that this group is having to look at their phone for their Bible. Bring this, set the example, be the example setters. Bring your Bible, please. And if you do not have a Bible, because I didn't, I was up in high school and I had this like weird, like baby blue King James thing that my grandmother had given me a long time ago. I did not have a good Bible. I didn't have anything that I could actually read and study, bless you, whoever that was. If you don't have a Bible, come see me tonight and I will get a good one in your hands. I want you to have access to the Word. I believe that it is of the utmost importance. And so if you don't have a Bible, that's why you don't have it with you tonight, like you just don't have one, please let me know and I will hook you up. We will get you what you need. And if I don't have it, I'll order it. I will make sure that you get something that is good for you. But I need this group to be the example setters. That's what I need. I need that out of y'all. So that being said, salt and light, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The verses are on the screen, so if you don't have your Bible, take your phone, put it away. Don't look at your Bible app. This is what we're looking at. You look at this screen or you look at the actual paper pages. I don't want phones, okay? Those are becoming a problem. And so the more they're a problem, the more I'm going to be a jerk about it because that's just how I was in my classroom, so I'm going to be as a youth pastor. So if I see it, I'm going to embarrass you. Put your phones away. So here we go. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Who is speaking this entire series? Who's the speaker? Jesus, because we're talking about the teachings of who, Dalton? Jesus. All right. You are the what? You're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We have a lot of stuff that I want to talk about tonight, but I'm going to be intentionally focused. Two things that Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. What are some purposes for salt? What do we use salt for? Dodson. What? What do we use salt for? For brain farts. Okay, what do we use salt for? For food, okay. To melt snow. To melt snow, okay. What he said? For flavor. Preservation, okay, great. All right, no, we're done, we're moving on. So, no. No means no. In my house, no means no. My kids just don't know that yet. So here's the deal. Salt has a lot of uses and a lot of purposes, right? It's not used for just one thing. But salt that is no longer salty is of no use, right? Does that make sense? Are we tracking so far? Like this is kind of just unpacking what Jesus said. Salt has lots of purposes, but if it's not salty, if it loses its essence, if it loses its purpose, then guess what? It has no purpose. Because the only purpose it has is its intended purpose. You can't use salt for anything else. It literally does nothing other than what it is supposed to do or nothing. Now, is Jesus really talking about salt here? No, he's comparing who to salt? Us. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. I don't want to lose sight of, I don't want to get to the finish line too fast, but salt that is no longer salty is of no use. And so we need to flip this. And okay, so if we're the salt, what is Jesus saying? Well, we're the ones that are made in the image of God. That's it. Of all of creation, we are the ones made in the image of God. We are the image bearers. We are the ones that were created with a specific purpose, created to subdue and have dominion over the earth, created to fill the earth, multiply, fill the earth, created to love the Lord, to love each other. We were created with a very specific purpose. And in doing our purpose, we ultimately glorify God in all things. A rock is a rock, and it is just, it's made to be a rock, and it does rock things. It's what it does. It can be used as a paperweight. It can be used to skip across water. It can be used for different things, but it has its purposes. It has no choice. While there are animals that can be trained, they can only be trained to do what they already do on command. Animals aren't trained to do new things. Animals are just trained to do what they're already capable of, but just on command, right? Like, I didn't make my dog able to sit. I just trained my dog to sit when I want her to, right? A tree, you can plant a tree in a certain place. You can plant it a certain way so that it grows at an angle, or you can create it so that it grows, you know, you can purposely split a tree. You can do things like that. But a tree is only going to grow and produce fruit and produce shade. It's all it's going to do. It's all it's meant to do. That is its purpose. If a tree ceases to provide shade and fruit, is it of any use anymore? I mean, sure, we can chop it down and make wood out of it, like make firewood out of it, but I mean, like, it has lost its reason for growing, correct? Right? Like, we understand this in all these things. In everything but ourselves, we know that everything has an intended purpose, and if it doesn't do its intended purpose, we throw it away. How many of y'all have a piece of furniture in your house that is not doing what it was meant to do? It has become something else. Like, it's a table that was meant to be this, but now it's just like a catch-all. It's just a junk table. I mean, y'all have a kitchen drawer that's just a junk drawer that, like, you open that, and that's just where everything goes. Like, it doesn't actually hold anything specific. It's just that's where things with no home goes. Like, that's not what that drawer was built for, but it's still serving a purpose. But we get to this point where, like, you start looking at things and going, this serves no purpose anymore. And what do we do with things that serve no purpose? We throw them away, or we hoard them for no reason. I'm calling myself out. Neither one of us are innocent on that one. But, like, we hold on to things because it has sentimental value. So it still kind of has a purpose, just not its intended purpose. But really, like, if it doesn't have a purpose, we throw it out. We know this. When it comes to people, we don't like to think that way. That's really harsh. We're going to come back to that, but I just want to make sure we have this understanding. Like, Jesus says, you are the salt, but if salt loses its saltiness, throw it out. Well, that's kind of harsh for Jesus. No, that's pretty much par for the course with Jesus. That's how Jesus talks. We just want to pretend he doesn't talk like that. But he also says this, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And I want to be clear, and if I'm wrong on this, Jesus will correct me one day, and I will be okay with that. If Jesus himself is like, hey, remember that night that you said this, you were wrong? I'll own that. I will humbly and honestly be corrected by Jesus. But I think I'm safe in saying what I'm about to say. I want to be really clear that Jesus is not saying that you, Sam, are the light of the world, or that you, Miss Heather, are the light of the world. Yes, he is saying that you are the light of the world, but I think there's a deeper intent behind this. It's not that you yourself are the light of the world. To be really clear, it's that Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus lives inside of you. And so, to be clear, Jesus is the light of the world, and it's not us, but it's Christ in us that is what's giving light, right? So, when Jesus is talking to this crowd, and he says that, listen, you are the light of the world. Is he talking to literally every single human being within earshot? Or is he talking to those who are his people, people of the Lord, people that serve God? I'm not 100% sure, because I wasn't there. But this seems to be much more intentional. This seems to be with Jesus being like, hey, listen, you need to understand this. Because this is in the middle of him teaching a whole bunch of things. This chapter 5 begins the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the Beatitudes where he says, blessed are those that blah, 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 boom, salt and earth. So he has gone on this thing, right? Like, these are the people who are blessed. And then after he lists the people who are blessed, he then says, you are the salt, you are the light. So he has narrowed this down from, I'm not talking about all 8 billion people. Blessed are those who this and this and this and this and this and this and this. You are the salt. You are the light. Those who are my people have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them, have the light of God dwelling inside of them. You are reflections of the light. You are representations of the light. You are the light that those in darkness will see. Because it is Christ shining through us. And so, I just want to be clear that Jesus is not saying that it's your responsibility, Dalton, to create that light. No. Because that's where we start getting into, I have to be good and holy and pure. I have to be perfect to be that light. No. You are the light, not because of you, but because of he who is in you. Does that difference make sense? Yes, no, maybe. Yes, no, maybe. I got like 7 nods. Cool. All right. So the next thing then, we're going to strip this down and build it back up. Darkness, which is the opposite of light, it's really just the absence of light. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is not a thing itself. Darkness doesn't exist. Darkness is just what we call when something that exists is gone. Okay? So, Jay and I, if we can, help me out for a second. Can you make it dark in here? Okay. Now listen. To make it dark, what did he actually do? All he did was take away light. Jay and I, do you have a dark button? No, you have a button that does what? It just turns off the lights. Now, I want to be clear about something. No. So this is my flashlight on, but it's on its like dimmest setting, right? Now, if I take the dimmer off and I start to actually shine this thing, hey, look, I can start to see your faces. And I can see some of you trying really hard to be funny. And then as I take my dimmer and pull it back down, all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, there's a light, but it's not really doing anything. So there's a difference here. The light is not coming from me. The light is coming from my phone. We understand that, right? My phone is what's producing the light. I just happen to be the ones holding the phone. But if I put a dimmer on it, this isn't really doing anybody any good. If I turn this all the way on, Casey, can you read your Bible now? Casey, can you read your Bible now? Tell me when you can read your Bible. Okay. So, Jay Knight, can we have the lights back? He was nice about it. He didn't blind you. He didn't flashbang the room like I thought he would. I was kind of hoping he would. All right. Darkness, listen. Darkness is simply the absence of light. It is not a thing itself. Darkness doesn't exist. That's the biggest lie in the world. Darkness can't fight light. It's not like these two things get in a corner and box to see who takes over the corner. If there is light, there is not darkness. That's just how this works. When we turn the lights on, the lights weren't like having to push darkness. Darkness is not a thing. It's just the absence of a thing. And so when we have this, like, darkness, it's not a thing by itself. Darkness cannot defeat the light. Where dark and light meet, dark always vanishes. That's how this works. And so when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, you are the carriers of me, like, I am the light of all things, and I live inside of you, and therefore you are little beacons of light that go out. The lie that we believe in our heads is that darkness can beat us, but it can't. Darkness can't beat light. And so there has to be something else going on. And so I want to be clear, like, there's two positive statements to this and there's two negative statements here. And so the two positive are pretty obvious, like, you are the salt and you are the light. Like, those are the two positive statements. But listen, you are. Like, Jesus is speaking with a responsibility here. Like, my people, you are the salt. You are the light. You don't get to choose whether you are or not. You either are the salt or you're not my people. You are the light or you're not my people. But then there's the two negative possibilities that go with this. And so number one is that the salt has lost its taste and should be thrown out. If salt isn't salty, really it's not salt. Because its very essence is that it is what it is. Like, it's salty. Salt is salt. And if you have something that's not salty, then guess what? It's not. It's not salt. And so Jesus isn't saying that like, you can be bad salt. What he's saying is, you are salt or you're not. And for us, like, we can look at this and go, like, okay, so salt's used for a lot of things. It's used for seasoning, which improves things. It's used for preserving things. It's used for whatever. Okay, so if we're salt, so, like, we need to be, you know, active, and we need to be seasoning or improving others. We need to be preserving, building up others. We're doing things like this. So let's just call it what it is. Me losing my saltiness, and don't mix this with salvation. Me losing my saltiness would be me hurting my witness, me living in a way that doesn't reflect Christ, me living in a way to where my words no longer matter to you. And so you can come here and you can do this church thing and you can go to school and be an absolute jerk. And guess what? Your classmates don't want to hear from you. Anything about Jesus. Or they're like I was and they do want to hear Jesus out of you because that's all I need to not have to believe in Jesus. All I need are a few bad Christians and I can be done with this whole Jesus thing. All I need is for you to post your verse of the day and then also be passed out blackout drunk on Saturday. That's all I need to go, this is nothing. This is garbage. All I need is for you to be, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, and then be so desperate for everybody else's attention that you act and dress and speak the way that you do. That's all I need. As a non-believer who doesn't want to believe in Jesus, all I need is for you to act one way and speak another way. Speak of Jesus and act like darkness. And all I need is you to do that, and then I'm done. Now, it's my choice, and the blood is on my hands, but Jesus is also pretty clear that a little bit of that is on yours. Salt can lose its saltiness and no longer be useful. So this is a warning from Jesus to his people. Check yourself. Because you can do enough that you can no longer do anything. You will be of no use because nobody wants to hear it. Because you're a liar, because you're a hypocrite, because you're a fake, because you're arrogant, because you're boastful, because you're whatever you are that you can say and pretend and play the game all you want, but they see who you really are and they don't want to hear your words anymore. The second negative is this light that has been hidden. And I got a lot of words. We're going to move through the words really fast. But this light that has been hidden, like if you are the light, that means that Christ is in you. You don't choose to turn the light switch on or off. Like if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. That's it. That's the end of the story. Like if you're truly in Christ, Christ is truly in you. And that's it forever and ever. So Christ is in you. The light of the world is in you if you're a believer. So it's not that you're turning the switch off. He doesn't say you put the light out. He said that you did what? Do people light a lamp and put it under a basket? He didn't say put the light out. He said light it and then do what to it? So hide it, cover it up, weaken it. See, and this is where I think a lot of Christians live. I think a lot of Christians want the light of Jesus because it makes us feel good. We want to put that dimmer switch on it, and we want to dampen it just as is. Just there's just enough light that I feel safe, but that you don't notice it. I want to be just Christian enough that I can go to heaven. I have my little light, but I don't want to shine that. I don't want you to see it. I really don't want it to be too bright. Because what does light do? Well, light exposes the darkness. So I think I'm kind of all over the place on my slides, but if we can, hold on. Can you go back? Can you go to the one after the two negative possibilities? All right. I might have messed this up. There should be like a people in the darkness thing. Maybe, possibly. Did I delete that? Right before that. Yeah, there it is. Okay. This right here. People in the darkness. So lost people. They should see you as Christians and have one of two responses. They should either be drawn to you because they are in the darkness and they're scared, and they go, there is something light, there is something bright, there is safety, there is security, there is hope, there is something in you. I want to get as close to you and figure out what it is as possible. Or they should see you and be afraid that the light is going to expose their sin and run from you. But most of us don't want either one of those. Most of us don't want people drawn to us because I don't want that attention. Like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I don't want people drawn to me. We don't want people running from us either because we don't want to lose friends. We don't want to be able to hang out with those people. I don't want to do what they do. I just want to hang out with them. I just want to be close. I just want to be friends with them. Like I want to be as close to their lifestyle as I can, but still keep my light nice and safe, right? Like we want to live in the middle. Let me be honest with you. There's no middle. You are the light, and light should either be attracting the lost, weary, and tired, or it should be pushing away those who are happy and content in their darkness. They should be running from you because the light is exposing their nasty darkness, or they should be running to you going, what is different? What do you have? But most of us want to live with that dimmer switch and say, this is my light. This is it. Yay, Jesus. And if somebody asks, what do you have? Oh, Jesus. I have light. See, I have light. See it? I have light. See it? No, like that's not what he says. He says, light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, but put it on a stand so it gives light to the whole house. And the same will let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So all notes and everything aside for the rest of this night, because I got to get us out of here, but I got to make sure you hear this. Listen. In this room right now, this isn't our normal Wednesday. This is a much smaller Wednesday. And this is people that I can be pretty honest with. I feel like I've earned the right to be honest with most of you at this point. In this room, there are a handful of people potentially who are living in darkness, have never actually come to the light. You've gotten close to it. You've walked into the room where the light is, but you've never said, I want that. And I want you to know that there is in your head all kinds of reasons to not commit, but I want to tell you that everything in your head is an absolute lie and it is a desperation attempt of the devil to keep you his. There are people in this room who need to just suck it up and let it go, and you need to go, hey, look, I am not, there is no salt and there is no light in me. I am clinging to the light of other people. I'm just in the light by proximity. It's not in me. And if that's you tonight, I don't want you to walk out that door. I want you to go to me or Miss Heather or Miss Emily or one of the other adults and say, hey, look, I'm done. I don't want this anymore. That's what I want, but I can't make that happen. I can't beg you or argue you to Jesus. But there are some of you in this room that is pulling at your heart. It has been for a while, and you keep, as soon as you hear anything like that, you just crack a joke. You laugh it off. You push it aside. You think about something else. You go, nope, not me, not tonight. Nope, I'm fine. I got a church. And you start making all the excuses. If that's you and there's no light in you and you're just close to other people's light, stop. Because you're living a light in darkness and that is just tasteless and it's just bland and it's just boring and it is leading you straight to what he says to do with the salt, to be thrown out. Because there will come a day where he says, depart from me, for I didn't know you. There's no light in you. You've just been hanging out with people that are in the light. There's a few of you in the room that I have absolute confidence that that's you tonight. But the majority of you are like me when I was 16 and 17, and there is a light, and you just don't know what to do with it, or you're scared to do what you know to do with it, one of the two. And there is a light, and there is some salt, but you just don't really know what to do. And let me tell you a couple of truths. One, if you're in the darkness and a bright light hits you, it hurts. It just does. If you were in, it's like when it's camp. Roll around, hey, it's wake up time. What's the first thing I'm going to do? Loud noises and what? Flip those lights on. Wake up, let's go, get up. I want to blind you. I want to make you mad. That's fine, get out of the bed. That's what we do. And if we're trying to go find somebody, what do? Grab a flashlight. I got to find you. I got to get you in the light. Like, I got to expose. Like, but that's what light does. Light exposes. It alerts. It wakes up. That's what it does. Y'all ever had salt or saline in a wound? Feels good, doesn't it? No, it burns. It hurts. But is it good for you? Yeah. But it hurts. So why is it good? How can it be good? It hurts. Because what, Matthew? Oh, it cleans it out. Can I just be really honest with you for a second? If we as the church don't become okay with the fact that the Bible should hurt people, we're never going to fix anything. Jesus said that we're salt. He didn't say that we're sugar. He said, you're salt. Salt burns. To do what it does, salt burns. It hurts a little. But in the end, are you thankful that you used the saline spray or the salt in the wound or the whatever? Are you yeah, because you cleaned out the infection. You kept it from spreading anyway. You did. It heals because there's a little bit of hurt for it to heal. That's what Scripture does. Scripture calls itself a two-edged what? Sword. But we're so soft. We've turned the sword into a pillow, and it's like, oh, we'll pillow fight for Jesus. Like, no, it's a sword. It cuts. It's salt. It should burn a little bit. But again, that's where we go back to, this is my light. And it doesn't bother anybody. I have it. I hold it. Jesus is my safety. I know that I'm okay. But I don't want to disrupt you because I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want to disrupt you because I don't want you to think that I'm judging you. I don't want to disrupt you because I don't want to blind you or hurt you with the salt. I don't want you to think I'm being pushy. I don't want, like, we are so caught up in our own fear. The Savior said to go and make disciples, but he's the same guy who said that you are light and you are salt. Light should expose sin, and salt hurts as it cures. Doesn't hurt just to hurt. And that's the problem in this part of the world, is there's a lot of churches and a lot of people who they just want it to hurt. It's not my way, so I'm going to tell you that, you know, your way is wrong and I hope it hurts you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. I just know that I got to hurt a little bit for it to help. That's the Christian attitude, is I'm going to hurt your feelings a little bit now to help you in the end. This is not something that we just go and attack people with and beat them for the sake of it. We take this, and there's truth in love. There is pain in healing. But it's pain with a purpose to bring healing. And so tonight, I want to pray. I want to get us out of here. But I just want to be really honest with this small group, kind of this core group. Like, we're missing a few people that are, like, core people, but, I mean, really, like, this is a lot of our, if I say our people, my kids, I'm thinking about most of you, with a couple of exceptions that aren't here. Most of this group, you need to uninstall that dimmer switch and let that light shine, or you need to recognize that you don't actually have a light, you're just borrowing everybody else's. And the reason you feel good when you're here is because you're surrounded in the light. And the reason you feel so bad out there is because you're walking around just living in the shadows of everybody else's light. So I want you to check your own heart, check your own mind, and just really ask, like, do I have that light in myself? Or am I living off my mom and dad's light, my friend's light, my boyfriend's light, my girlfriend's light, my best friend's light, my teammate's light? Or do I have that light? If you don't, let's fix it. And if you do, uninstall that dimmer switch, put that sucker up high so it'll shine, and get to work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the times that it hurts. There's times where your word is so sweet and it's so gentle. And we were talking about camp. We've got Psalm 23 is going to be a beautiful camp theme. It's going to be a very encouraging camp theme. And then you got stuff like tonight where your word kind of cuts us a little bit. And you tell us, like, that's what should happen, that if you, God, like, the God of this word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was, like, this is you poured out for us. And God, you tell us to be salt and light, and we know it's really you through us. God, you inside of us is going to be love, is going to be patience, is going to be peace, but God, it is also going to be the salt and the light that exposes sin and that cures. There's pain and there's suffering in that, but it's always with a purpose to glorify you. Lord, I pray that this room right here, God, that as they walk out of here and as they walk into whatever tomorrow has for them, God, I pray that there would be a little bit of salt. Not for the sake of hurting other people's feelings or for winning arguments or making themselves look good, but for your name, your glory, and your kingdom, God. I pray that this group would be light in a very, very, very dark world. That as they go home and to their friends and their weekend plans and their fall breaks and their schools and whatever it is they're going to, God, that they would be light. That people would be drawn to the hope that they have or would flee because their sin is being exposed, God. Help us to be who you want us to be. I pray these things in your holy name. Amen.